board will come back in order. We are departing from the schedule for just a few moments in order to recognize three different people or groups of people who are here who've been waiting a long time, and we'd like to go out of order. And first of all, we will have the recognition of Colorado's outstanding students and educators. The next item on in, does somebody have a script to read on this one? Or do I
yes.
read it? Oh, Keith Owens, Keith. Where, there you are. Yes, thank you, Keith.
No.
The next item on the agenda is recognition of the 2014 National Student Poets Program winner. And Commissioner Owens, we turn it over to you.
Madam Chair, it's a pleasure today to honor Miss Julia Faulkner, the 2014 National Student Poet representing the West Region. Ms. Faulkner is from Monarch High School in Louisville, Colorado. The National Student Poets Program is the country's highest honor for young poets, grades 9 through 11, presenting original work. Each year, five students are selected for 1 year of service as literary ambassadors, each representing a different geographic region of the country. By elevating and showcasing their work for a national audience, the program strives to inspire other young people to achieve excellence in their own creative endeavors and promote the essential role of writing and the arts in academic and personal success. National student poets are selected from a pool of national medalists in poetry through the Scholastic Art and Writing Awards. Each year, 35 semifinalists are selected based on creativity, dedication to craft, and promise. Their work is then submitted to a distinguished jury for the final selection of the five national student poets. Ms. Faulkner was selected from the West Region as one of the final five winners. Each national student poet receives an academic award of $5,000 and an acknowledgement of their accomplishment at the White House. To celebrate her success, Ms. Faulkner was invited to the White House, where she was introduced by First Lady Michelle Obama at a poetry reading on September 18, 2014. Please help me recognize Ms. Julia Faulkner from Monarch High School. She comes forward to say a few words.
Madam Chair and members of the board, thank you for having me today.
Thank you. Go ahead.
During my experience so far as a National Student Poet, the trust and respect that I've received from people such as you has been completely humbling. For example, in the last 6 months, I've read my work at the Geraldine R. Dodge Poetry Festival, the Library of Congress, and at the White House for First Lady Michelle Obama. This has led to a somewhat unconventional senior year. The most important lessons I've learned have come from my fellow student poets, poetry teachers and mentors, and those who believed in me enough to make this opportunity possible. Many poets I've met this year have introduced me to the concept of an initiation poem, the first poem someone hears that they really connect to. This poem initiates them into being not only a lover of poetry, but a budding poet themselves. My fellow National Student Poet, Cameron Mecenides, claims that his initiation poem trained his ears and taught him how to create his own work. I agree completely. So far, my relationship to the National Student Poets Program has been incredibly similar to this concept. I like to think of this year as my initiation year. Just as our initiation poems trained our ears, the experiences I'm having this year are training me. I'm learning how I want to walk in this world. As I slowly but surely become an adult, my ambassadorship has taught me how to speak and listen, advocate for what is important to me, and express myself in language that I can understand and control. Now it's come to the point in my year of service where I share the love I have for poetry with others. This spring and summer, I'll be leading a workshop-based poetry service project with LGBT youth in Colorado. I'll also be collaborating with other youth poetry leaders as an ambassador to spread poetry awareness and education amongst the youth population of our entire country. I want to empower others to tell their stories and to speak their mind. Maybe throughout these endeavors, I'll be able to connect the right poems with the right people and initiate some new poets. Maybe I have an important message to spread through different communities with art. Regardless of the outcome, I know that these experiences with poetry and service are initiating me as a person. I've gained so much enthusiasm and confidence about sharing, involving, and immersing myself in what I love. Poems have the ability to change lives, empower us, and help us appreciate the beauty and poignance of the world in which we live. I hope that before the year ends, I'll be able to help others experience this art that I love so much. Thank you again for having me, and have a wonderful afternoon.
Ms. Faulkner. On behalf of the State Board, I would like to commend you and your exceptional work and as a student role model. And if you would join us up front, who is...
What? May I ask a question?
With Angelica Schroeder, who is your... We will take a picture. Yes, ma'am.
Could she read a poem for us, one of her poems?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
Did you have fun?
Did you have one for us? Did you have a poem for us?
I could probably read one off my phone if you'd like me to. I didn't have one prepared, but... It was fun.
It's completely up to you.
Yeah.
Do you want to take over?
No. I just thought you might have a poem for us.
Go ahead, please.
All right. All right. Sorry, just a second.
Well, she's written many.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. The philosophy of hunger. One. Household antifreeze must be kept high away from children and dogs simply because it tastes so sweet. Two. Ordinary vinegar is acidic enough to dissolve an entire human skeleton. Three. After its death, the human body in the following hours loses 6 ounces of weight, described by many as the heaviness of the human soul.
Thank you. Thank you. If you would come up front, please, and join Ms. Schroeder and the commissioner, and we'll all take your picture here.
She's pretty.
Is your parents here? Okay, well, let's give one of her, and then if okay. You all parents could come up here, that would be wonderful. Okay.
Okay. One, two, three. One, two, three.
Can the parents come up?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Marcia.
Yes,
sir. The next item on the agenda is recognition of the National School Counselor of the Year. It's my pleasure for the State Board of Education and Colorado Department of Education to recognize Mr. Corey Nestine.
Notstein.
Where are you, Corey?
It's Notstein.
Okay, is that right? Okay. Nestine?
Notstein.
Notstein. That sounds pretty good. Corey Nostein, counselor at Alamosa High School. Mr. Nostein was named the 2015 National School Counselor of the Year. Commissioner?
I just have to tell a story about before I tell it, turn this over to Rebecca. We knew nothing about this until Marcia had heard.
She found it.
She found a story, and I happened to be down at your superintendent's meeting and talked to your superintendent. And I said, is this really true? We have a national winner here? And he said, absolutely. And I said, well, we've got to have somebody recognize. This is quite an honor. So it's nice to have discovered you through Marcia, and it's nice that you've made the trip up here today. So with that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Holmes. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
So yes, a national award winner in our midst here. The School Counselor of the Year Award is presented yearly by the American School Counselor Association, and it's intended to honor professionals who devote their careers to serving as advocates for students in expressing their academic, social, college, and career readiness development. Mr. Nostein has been a school counselor since 2008. He was new to Alamosa High School in the 2013-2014 school year, which made the level of impact he's made in such a short time in that school and that district even more impressive. One parent discussed his achievements and was quoted as saying the following: in one short year, Mr. Nostein has led to a complete cultural shift in the counseling department in Alamosa High School. My son commented on the changes that were evident in the programs the programs provided by the counseling department under Mr. Nostein's leadership. Heidi Morgan, a fellow counselor at Alamosa High School, describes Corey as having, quote, a passion for students. He takes the time to relate to each of his students on a personal level. I have seen several students' lives changed because of him. He has a way of reaching students when no one else can. The School Counselor of the Year winner and finalists were judged on creative school counseling program innovations, effective school counseling programs, leadership skills, and contributions to student advancement. Corey, along with four School Counselor of the Year finalists, were flown to Washington, D.C. in late January. The honorees had meetings with their members of Congress, attended a congressional briefing, and on January 30th, First Lady Michelle Obama and actress Connie Britton, who played a school counselor on the acclaimed TV show Friday Night Lights, honored the School Counselor of the Year, the finalists and semifinalists, in a first-ever White House ceremony and presented Corey with the top award. We're pleased that he was able to come all the way from Alamosa to join us today, and he has a few comments for you all.
Chair, board, thank you for having me. A funny comment about Connie Britton. I was talking to a student. They're like, oh, you met my all-time hero. I was like, yeah, I met Michelle Obama. They're like, no, Connie Britton, you met her, right? And I was like, yeah, she's great, too. I didn't know her, but she's an amazing actress. But I'd like to say thank you for taking the time today to honor the profession and the important role school counselors play in the lives of children across the state and nation. This award is more than an individual award aimed at honoring one person's achievement. This award highlights school-wide initiatives and guidance curriculum that is centered and tailored to remove barriers to student academic success. Without educational stakeholders like yourselves, support school counselors would not be able to deliver developmentally appropriate, comprehensive programs that support children's academic, career, and personal social needs. In fact, school counselors are uniquely positioned to help students with their social-emotional needs. At a time when education seems solely focused on academic outcomes, school counselors are working to support children through some of the most difficult times in their lives. With increased national focus on mental health issues, school counselors stand on the front lines, providing counseling services and making referrals so children and families can get the help they deserve and so desperately need. Several weeks ago, a research study out of Columbia University looked at the economic value of social and emotional learning. This study showed that the benefits of these interventions, curriculum, and skill development far outweigh the cost of implementation. However, many of these interventions studies are delivered at the elementary level, where there are very few counselors that provide such guidance curriculum in the state of Colorado. When we review the data of our own counselor core grant, in the state of Colorado, we see tremendous growth in schools that gain access to a school counselor for the first time or another counselor to reduce the rate of the student counselor ratio. These results indicate graduation rates increased by 5%, dropout rates decreased, and student enrollment in post-secondary institution increased by 13% in 1 year following high school graduation. All of these indicators point to the value of school counselors in our state and the role they play in student achievement. My ideas are not unique or new to the field of school counseling. However, what we've been able to accomplish in my school is due to our ability to create comprehensive programming that aligns with the Ask a National model. Our continued success lies within our ability to have a reasonable student-to-counselor ratio of approximately 1 to 250 students. Just as a point of reference, ours is roughly in our state 460 to 1. If we hope to see continued growth as exhibited through the Counselor Corps grant and in our ability to prepare students for college and career readiness, as highlighted by the First Lady Michelle Obama, we must see an increase in the number of school counselors, not only at the middle school and high school level, but the elementary school level as well. Again, thank you for honoring me today, and I hope you'll continue to support school counselors like myself at the state level, because we're doing amazing things on behalf of students. So thank you very much for having me here today. I appreciate it.
Don't sit down. Would you please come up front and join me, who is your board member and the commissioner, in receiving your award. You take the accolade.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did I get the wrong number? Yeah,
1501. No, you, Angelic was wrong. Fancy that.
It happens all the time. I thought it was Montrose Innovation.
It is, but it's 1501.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, very good. Where's your superintendent? I thought he'd be here.
He wasn't able to make it today.
So tell him I asked for him. Wondered where he was. Right. He's such an outspoken fellow. He lets you know exactly what's going on. The action item number 1501, request for Montrose County RE1 to approve its innovation application on behalf of Centennial Middle School. And I assume one of you is this principal. That's you,
right.
An
assistant? Yes, I am.
Yeah, very good. I'm looking for a motion here, huh? Okay. Well, or is somebody giving? This is all I've got here.
Madam Chair, I'm happy to do introductions, and then they have a short presentation before you all take a motion to approve.
Rebecca.
Yes.
There, you're on.
Okay. So these two gentlemen certainly will introduce themselves. They are able stand-ins for their superintendent. We have here Joe Simo, who's Centennial Middle School principal, and Bob Lee, who is the district's director of alternative education. As you all know, the first time that a district comes forward with a school of innovation, they are putting an application to you all to become a district of innovation. And because that is Montrose's first time, they're here with a brief presentation today, and then we'll ask for your vote with the staff recommendation of approval. The application intends to convert one school in the district, Centennial Middle School, to a school of innovation. That school currently receives high growth, but not high achievement, and the school and district have worked together to put forward a plan that they feel will advance the achievement of their students. They will discuss the plan in detail, but you'll see an intention of making some changes to the school schedule, the school curriculum, and the use of blended learning technologies in order to achieve new goals for the school. So with that, I will turn things over to you.
And I just might say, Madam Chair, the only we don't normally do this. Anytime someone asks for such a request, the very first time we ask that they present to you just a very, very brief summary of what they're trying to do. And other than that, we normally don't do it after that. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Chairman, State School Board of Education, we appreciate the opportunity to present today on behalf of Centennial Middle School and Montrose County School District RA1J for the approval of Centennial School of Innovation application. Centennial Middle School is located in the western slope of Colorado. Currently, we have 574 students educating 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. 56% of our students are qualified for free and reduced lunch. 28% are English language learners, and currently on the school performance framework, we score performance. In this process, we decided that we needed to engage in a lot of collaboration with our local community, and we've created a School of Innovation Task Force that went out and recruited local business members, our PAC, Parent Involvement, our Academic Committee, students, staff, and community members throughout the Montrose area. With that, we've worked for the last 6 months meeting weekly to decide what School of Innovation plan we would go for and how we would want to move forward. With this, we're able to go around the state going to schools that we dealt or felt had characteristics that we would want to include into our school to make our school even better for our students. With that, we've decided the reason of applying for School of Innovation was the flexibility. And the flexibility to implement a curriculum, design professional development, and execute instructional models and assessments to align with our core mission and meet the needs of our students. And an analogy is kind of Centennial wants to become a PT boat compared to an aircraft carrier, which is a school district. When it's time for us to be reactive and make changes based off of things we see in our school, we're able to stop and turn quickly versus that aircraft carrier taking a long time to make adjustment to the course. And we felt that the flexibility would allow our school to improve our student achievement and provide a better education for our students. Some of the innovations that we're looking on are going to be based off of three foundational values that we have. The first is quality teaching, the second is a rigorous curriculum, and the third is a character-based education. The quality teaching, currently Centennial only receives about 2.5 days of professional development, and most of those days are at the beginning of the school year. And so as the school year starts, we don't have any opportunity to access our data and make adjustments and have time to improve our craft and improve our teachers, because that's one of the most important things we feel will improve academic achievement in our district and our building. The next is collaboration for that quality teaching. Our teachers teach in isolation and do not have time to collaborate to look at and access the data and to drive our instruction from that data. The next is rigorous curriculum. We felt through our visits throughout the state that the blended learning model, which incorporates 21st century technology and your traditional teaching, would be the best approach. Unfortunately, we're not able to go after a one-to-one device capacity, but with blended learning, we can use the technology we do have and more of centers, almost like guided reading, where you have two or three students working on technology, a group of students working with a teacher, and a group of students working independently. And that technology would allow us to help assess the students where they're at and to be able to adjust midstream if students are struggling. The other component with the blended learning is we like the way we can differentiate for our students. Currently, when you have a class of 28 to 30 students, you have students from third grade reading level all the way up to 12th grade. And being able to use online curriculum in partnership with our traditional teaching methods will allow us to meet those students at their level. The next is character-based education. And earlier you heard from our national counselor recognized that we believe that with character education, we need to teach our students how to be active and positive role models and community members. And it just doesn't happen. We have to spend time and work with our students. And at a middle school level, we feel that having a curriculum that is focused on improving our students, teaching them social and moral kind of curriculum and responsibilities is an important component for us. With that, we are very excited and really appreciate your time and your consideration for our School of Innovation application. Thank you.
Any questions, comments? Look forward to a report next year to see how this has worked for you, Deb.
Thank you for the presentation. Can you just summarize the goal of the innovation application? Obviously, I've read it, but in what sense is it innovative and what do you get out of the application? Is it money attached to it? Maybe others know the answer to these questions. But we
do not have any money attached to it. With our district, as we've been losing enrollment for a lot of our districts, you know, across Australia, especially in the Western Slope, the one goal was to work in the means that our current school and district has. And so we've created a plan that would allow us to incorporate the technology and use some of the resources our district has without costing any additional money, besides maybe some traditional fundraising that we do historically every spring. I think the big thing that it allows us to do is we get to make decisions at the building level versus the district level. And I think our district is doing an amazing job, but sometimes it may not benefit our students at Centennial. And by getting this waiver, we're allowed to create our own curriculum, use our own assessments, and be able to kind of be that quick response at the building level instead of kind of waiting for that aircraft carrier to make that big turn.
Madam Chair?
So may I just...
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Deb, finish.
So you're saying that in a way this application allows you to function in some ways like a charter because it's more local control?
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
So how many students do you have?
Your mic needs to come down.
Oh, sorry. How many students do you have, and what's your teacher-to-student ratio?
We have 574 students, and right now we're running between 27 to 1, so 27 students to 1. And depending on the courses, some courses have a few more, and some have a little less depending on the needs of those students.
And it's so important, and there's a question here. It's so important to have teachers that come together. At least, you know, you said you only have 2 days at the beginning. Is there any time in the interim that possibly administrators could take over, and so that teachers could get together and discuss the data? Because I can't imagine that this time wouldn't be found where teachers can come together. How many teachers do you have?
Currently, we're right around 40 staff members, so licensed teachers in our building. And with this innovation plan, if approved, we'd be able to add close to 5 more professional development days throughout the year for our teachers. And so that's one of a major areas for us, was being able to add that.
Very good. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments, Jane?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Nice to see you. I missed your name and your role. I'm sorry, because I...
My name is Bob Lee. I'm the Director of Alternative Education in Montrose County School District.
Okay, so you're with the district.
Yes.
Appreciate it. I would ask either of you, because I think you would know, what was your local board's most enthusiastic, what were they most looking forward to when you presented your plan? But I know you all worked together on this, but how did the community, what was their most favorite thing about it?
I think our school board was very excited about the possibility of the blended learning and incorporating more technology into the classroom, which has been a focus for them for the last, I'd say, 3 to 4 years. The idea with the blended learning is we're able to access the technology we currently have in the district, and it doesn't have to be a one-to-one device rollout that we've heard a lot about lately in the last few years. I think our community likes the idea of the ability to differentiate. You know, if we have students who are, you know, reading at the 11th or 12th grade reading level, sometimes they have to get that seat time. And with this application, we'd be able to move them at their level and provide the curriculum and instruction that they need. And so I think that's been probably the community's big excitement behind this. But for our school board, we did get 100% of the school board members to vote for it, and 90% of our staff voted for our application and plan.
That would have been my next question.
Yes.
Without it right in front of me, the percent of it approval.
Yes.
On all of those required community groups. So that's,
yep,
that's terrific.
And for the few who didn't, they talked to me later and said, just too unknown yet. You know, we don't know exactly what it's going to be for how it would affect their program. They're excited about it, but they just had too many questions, they said. And so that was pretty exciting, because I would say the almost 100% of staff are excited about this process that we're going forward with.
Is there a master agreement in place, a collective bargaining agreement? Is that a unit? Is that a regional,
yes,
situation?
Or we do
Montrose
have.
You have your own separate agreement, right?
Yep. We have our UVEA, and they have a master contract with our school district. And we did ask for some waivers in that application from the master contract, besides the district waivers that we requested also.
Well, good luck. Wish you well.
Thank you.
Angelica?
Congratulations. I'd like to move that we approve the Montrose County RE1's request to approve its innovation application on behalf of Centennial Middle School.
Is there a second?
Second.
Val?
Second.
Any dissent? So the motion stands approved as read. Congratulations, and thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Because of we have a timed item. This doesn't pertain to you.
You can go.
Thank you very much. We have a timed item as it relates to the, where I lost my place, okay. The item 1901 on the transportation rules. Since we went a little bit out of order, it would be my recommendation, since this is a timed item, we take this, then we go back to the executive session, and then the other items we vote on under educator licensing.
That,
if that would
me,
be with your approval.
Does anybody have any objection? Then let's move ahead to 1901.
Thank you, I'll go ahead.
Gee, you drive the cars too.
Yeah, food and cars and fun stuff. Yes,
we got to find our papers though.
Yes,
everything's out of order.
Madam Chair, we've talked about this before. We've said this is kind of an issue that started with the rurals. I'm sure there's some comments otherwise, but we've done a lot of in-depth research on this, and we proposed the rulemaking hearing today. And so we really want to just talk to you briefly about this, answer any questions, and we'll go forth. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
The Colorado State Board of Education will now conduct a public rulemaking hearing for rules concerning Colorado minimum standards governing school transportation vehicles, 1 CCR 301-25. The state board approved the notice of rulemaking at its January 7, 2015 board meeting. A hearing to promulgate these rules was made known through publication of a public notice on January 25, 2015, through the Colorado Register, and by state board notice on March 4, 2016. The state board is authorized to promulgate these rules to pursuant to Title 22, Article 51, Section 108, and Title 42, Article 4, Section 1904, CRS. All right. The commissioner's already provided an overview. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the notice was conducted in January, where we spent some time going over the proposed rules. And as a reminder, when we had started going through this, this has been a multi-year process to revise these rules. And we got to the point where we needed to strike them all, because there were so many changes that it was getting so confusing for everyone that we struck them all and basically rewrote them to align very closely with the federal minimum standards, with some variations that the transportation people still felt that they needed to be in rule. So there's been significant outreach across the state regarding these rules. And once the public hearing, once the notice occurred, we did receive a few comments, and I'll have Jennifer briefly explain those and go through those.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, yes, we did receive 7 comments during the formal rulemaking process, and we are recommending proceeding and incorporating 6 of the 7 comments that we received. Generally, they were very, and you do have a document, it's the landscape version, that each of the comments, and I think there are very good technical clarifications. In a few cases, it was putting back some of the language that was struck. We streamlined them a lot. We reduced them by almost a third in this rewrite. And so there's a few things that the people thought that we should incorporate back in, and we agreed with that. The one proposed change that we do not think, we're not recommending, is in relation to the motor coach issue. And as you may recall, that was the more controversial issue that we discussed. And the recommended change through the comments was to just allow that to be done by a district. Our proposal had been that it should be done through a local Board of Education resolution. And we still think that there's some merit to that, just so that there's public dialogue and discussion of those, since it's a safety issue. So that would be our recommendation.
Yes.
And Madam Chair, just as a reminder about the charter bus issue, under our previous rules, the purchase of used charter buses was not allowed. There were some districts that had been grandfathered in from prior, you know, they had them, and then the rules went in place, and they could still keep them. When we were going through the drafting process, there were districts who wanted to replace those older buses, but under the current rules, they were not allowed to. So in order to compromise, come to a compromise, the drafted rules as presented would require that the boards of education adopt the resolution, so that they make that decision, a public decision, in order to go ahead and purchase those used charter school buses. The comments were that there may not be a need for that resolution. However, as staff, we are still recommending that that resolution be passed, so that the Board of Education's and staff make that concerted decision about the purchase of those buses, since there are some safety issues that probably need to be discussed.
Okay.
And that's the one comment that we're not recommending change into the rules.
But we're ready to go ahead and have testimony. We have 4 people signed up to testify. Under the state board rules, you have 3 minutes per speaker. And Ms. Markle, if Carrie does the timekeeper, if you see her wave her little sign, it's time to sit down. Our first testifier will be Durbin. Is it Jay or Jeff? I couldn't read it. Jeff Durbin, yes. Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, state board members, as well as Mr. Commissioner Dr. Hammond. I guess I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to my concerns today. As a superintendent and 25 years in education, I appreciate you giving us school districts some flexibility. I find it a little ironic today that I'm addressing you to ask for help to replace a coach used bus that we bought used that actually is a 1985 bus. And that's the year I graduated, and I know I'm a little old, and I don't work near as good as that I do back then. So my point of this story is, for safety issues, I would really like the purpose of addressing replacing our coach bus. It has over 2 million miles on it. I put a lot of money into that bus to keep it going, and I truly believe that in the years that have gone by, 25 years, that safety issues regarding the coach buses, I would hope by now there's a lot more thought and process put behind the design of those buses. The reason that I'm asking that we be able to purchase and replace this bus is I live in a rural community. I had this very conversation with my school board. We have a bus that we send out on activity trips, which we load our entire volleyball team, our football team, and that takes one bus. We're able to travel, and when we travel, we're not talking a 30-minute drive. We're talking sometimes as up as three and a half hours one way to get to a destination that we have to go and participate at an activity. This also has a bathroom on it, so our kids are able to take care of their needs. But the biggest part of it is being in a rural school, we don't have the flexibility of finding a lot of drivers. I advertised recently to find a school driver, bus driver, for 3 months. I had zero applicants. We are also one of the few school districts that offer, out in rural America, full-time health insurance for our employee bus drivers. You would think that would entice somebody to want to drive a school bus or a coach bus for us. Zero applicants. Some people have asked me, well, why don't you just take two buses? Well, the reason is, you talk about cost, you talk about reduction in budgets that you all are aware of. We don't have the money to go out and find two bus drivers, let alone one, and spend the extra cost of putting a volleyball team on one, the bus football team on the other. So it gives us some flexibility to meet the needs of the district and be able to address the needs of our students. Also, I guess I want to address the issue about local control. I had the very issue with regards to my school board. I said, we as a board, you as a school board ought to have the right to decide what's best for your community. If you so choose as a school board to purchase a used coach bus to meet the needs of your students, you ought to have that right to do that. Should not be told by the Colorado Department of Ed that you cannot do that. I want to personally thank the department and the people that worked on this issue with me, especially Jennifer, in regards to addressing this very important issue for us. That you give us the flexibility to meet the needs of our school district and allow us to be able to purchase a new, upgraded, used coach bus to replace the one that has many, many miles on it.
Thank you, Mr. Durbin.
All right. Thank you, and thank you for your time.
Chairman, can I ask a question? So the rules as they are currently constituted will allow you to make this purchase. Is that correct?
The new rules that are being proposed will give us the flexibility to go out and purchase a used coach bus. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Pearson. Denise Pearson. I just expect bus people to be male. Go ahead, please.
Madam Chairperson, members of the State Board, Commissioner Hammond, thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Denise Pearson, and I'm superintendent of Kiowa Schools located in Elbert County. I'd like to thank the Transportation Advisory Committee and CDE for their work on these rules. It has got to be arduous. And I'd especially like to thank them for changing the rules for the purchase of a coach bus. This is really important to our district. Here's why. I don't know if you can see this, but this is the map of Colorado, and this is Kiowa, where, oh, it's upside down. This is Kiowa, where my district is.
I think that was in western Colorado.
And here's Rangeley, yeah, almost in Utah. And yes, we've played Rangeley in football. It's 327 miles across the Continental Divide. It's an overnight trip with a bus driver, with the team, with the coaches, with all of the equipment, and of course their luggage, because they have a couple of overnight stays. If we didn't have the coach with all of the extra storage, we would have had to take two buses, which, as Jeff mentioned, is an extra expense, but also for us, we have trouble getting bus drivers at all. And ours are part-time. And Kiowa and Rangeley is not isolated. We go to Honey, Caliche, Granada, Custer County, Fowler, just to name a few. Our summer football camp is in Chadron, Nebraska. And let's not forget our band. That is a lot of equipment, and we can get everybody in one bus if we can take a coach. I know there are safety concerns with a coach, and I respect the people who have that opinion, and I am hopeful that they can exercise local control to make that decision. Our board would really like to have that opportunity as well. You know, they wouldn't take this decision lightly. In our school, we know all 287 kids. We know their parents, and we know a lot of their grandparents. Our staff has taught their parents, have gone to school with their parents or their grandparents. So we operate our school based on relationships. And when they make big decisions like this, they really weigh the pros and cons. And the accountability is not just faces, but it's families that we are accountable to. Your support for this rule change will allow our school board, elected by our citizens, to do the job that they've asked them to do. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am.
Wow.
Tom Satterley.
Madam Chair and members of the State Board of Education and Commissioner Hammond, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of the proposed rule changes to the transportation over-the-road coach buses. My name is Tom Satterley. I come from Burlington RE6J. I didn't bring a map, but if you were to jump on I-70 and head east before you hit the beautiful sign that says Leaving Colorful Colorado, you would see Burlington. Okay. I want to speak for our students and our student athletes. We do travel quite a little bit. We average anywhere from 2 to 3 hours one way. We will travel on average between 45, 48 football players and their equipment. Our nearest conference game, this is a game that we don't choose, we're in the conference, is just over an hour straight north to Ray. Our furthest conference game is Wiggins, Colorado. If you know where Wiggins is, I have to look it up too. Go back to Lyman, straight north, hang a left, go past Fort Morgan. It's a little over 3 hours for our student athletes. But not only do our student athletes travel this far, my FBLA, we have a tremendous FBLA program. Our district is Sterling, which is just under 3 hours from Burlington, and we will travel anywhere from 25 to 38 students to that activity. We also have FFA that travels, but we also have a band, and we will travel 35 to 40 students in band. And as Denise had mentioned, the equipment with the band can become a nightmare. Fortunately, I own two over-the-road motor coach buses. It helps tremendously when football goes one direction, volleyball goes another direction, softball goes a direction. I know that's more than two. Somebody ends up riding a snub-nosed yellow activity bus. It's not the football team. not because I used to coach football, but because of the equipment, all right? I want to throw that out there. But unfortunately this year, the older Cougar bus, okay, and when I say the older Cougar bus, I actually graduated from Burlington High School. When I was a junior in 1986, we bought an MCI over-the-road used Cougar bus. Man, we thought we were in it. I was actually driving that bus home with the band after being on the Western Slope for a playoff football game, and the bus started to have problems. Wow. With those problems, we were able to get it fixed. Unfortunately, not completely fixed. It cratered again. When we looked at buying a new or a used bus, we were told we couldn't. It cost me $22,000 to replace a power plant and a transmission. If I couldn't have done that, I know I'm out of time, sorry. If I couldn't have done that, I could not this weekend take boys basketball to state and a band. Sorry I took so
That's
much
okay.
time.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
Thank
it's
you.
Very, very enlightening. I enjoyed this. And our last one is French. Scott French?
State Board of Education. my name is Scott French. I have been a director in Colorado for 28 years. Before that, I was a contractor in a school bus business and charter bus business.
Thank you.
For 12 years in the state of Massachusetts. So I'm pretty familiar with the school buses and charter buses. The reason why I'm here today is I think the state has done a tremendous job at trying to make school buses safe for transporting school children. And they have a rack and load on the roof, I'm sure you're aware of, in the minimum standards. And this criteria of the safety of school buses was implemented in 1974. To date, there's nothing on the safety of side impact and roof construction for charter buses. And the only reason why I'm presenting today is I like local board autonomy, but I think we need to be thinking about the safety of kids. And if you get online, and I did just recently, to look at the accidents in a rollover or crash that we have witnessed or had in the state of Colorado and saw the roofs and structure of the charter buses and how they're just, there's no integrity. There was a bad accident in 1992 involving a district bus going down in St. Vrain in the river in Lyons, Colorado. And there was, unfortunately, a child that got ejected from the school bus. I saw the school bus, and I was really surprised how it slid down the embankment, but the integrity of that bus was not compromised. Children did get ejected. I think there was three or four. So we had a ruling passed by CDE that we'd either have a secondary brake system on the buses or kids in the front and back seats would not occupy those seats. But the accidents that I saw when I went to the web and saw, and this is not just in Colorado, this is in other places, there's tremendous structural integrity questions about the charter buses. And our President Obama signed in 2004 the Moving Ahead and Progress in the 21st Century Act. It's called MAP 21. In that legislation, it's calling for the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to look into the crashworthiness of what I'm talking about with charter buses. Okay? So here we are thinking about going backwards, in my opinion, 40 years. And yes, we leave it to school districts for their decision. May I ask that at least something be implemented or mentioned about people doing this or having access to this information? That's all I'm asking.
Thank you.
Okay. And I do have some information that I can give you. It's referring to the two things I'm talking about. If you care, I heard that you have a lot of research and done a lot of information on this, so maybe you're aware of it, but I do have two reports in here that I'd be happy to distribute at this time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I found this very interesting. You know, I don't think I've ever been in the school board meeting, state board meeting, where we've talked about school buses. You know, and it just brings it home to you that everything's important. And these, as I understand it, these gentlemen are saying these new rules allow them more local control, flexibility to be able to purchase the vehicles that they think necessary.
Yes, Madam Chair, the rules do allow for the purchase of the used charter buses, but the rules also do, to speak to Mr. French's point in a way, the rules also would require the local boards of education to pass a resolution so that they take into account those safety-related issues and they can have that discussion and be able to understand the research and things like that surrounding the decision that they're making for those students in their communities.
That's good, because I mean, I know as school board members, there's so many things that go by you, sometimes you just take over. But this has been very interesting. It's one of those I kind of look and went, oh, okay, it's transportation. Any other comments from any of the board members? Do we take interaction? I forgot the word.
I'm ready. I move to approve the rules for the Colorado Minimum of Standards Governing School Transportation Vehicles.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. You're not too free to second, sir. Any dissent?
You next, Pam.
If not, the motion stands as made. And thank you very much for your time. And thank you, gentlemen, for coming and providing this enlightening discussion. Thank you. Now where are we going, Commissioner? I'm
back to executive session.
Back to executive
back
session
to the agenda
on
order.
1301, is it? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Ms. Markle, would you move this into exec session?
The executive session has been noticed for today's state board meeting in performance of 24-6-402-CRS. Legal advice to assist with questions. Pursuant to 24-6-402-2, we are asked the matter to be fired to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statutes. Pursuant to 24-6-402-CRS.
I move we go in exec session.
Okay. Lost my page, but we are in exec session and the audience will be excused.